Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter 10, the opulence of the absolute text 4 and 5. Pudir Yanama Samoha. Shema Satyam Dhammak Samaha. Sukham Dukham Bhavo Bhavo. Bhayam Cha Bhayam Eva Cha. Ahimsa Samatha Tushtis. Tapo Dhanam Yasho Yashaha. Bhavanti Bhava Bhutanam. Pratak Eva Pritak Vidaha. Buddhi. Intelligence. Jnanam. Knowledge. Asamoha. Freedom from doubt. Shama. Forgiveness. Satyam. Truthfulness. Dhammaha. Control of the senses. Shama. Control of the mind. Sukham. Happiness. Dukham. Distress. Bhava, birth. Abhava, death. Bhayam, fear. Cha, also. Abhayam, fearlessness. Eva, also. Cha, and. Ahimsa, nonviolence. Samatha, equilibrium. Tushti, satisfaction. Tapaha, penance. Danam, charity. Yasha, fame. Ayasha, infamy. Bhavanti, come about. Bhava, natures. Bhutanam, of living entities. Mataha, from me. Eva, certainly. Pritagvida, variously arranged. Knowledge, intelligence, knowledge, freedom from doubt and delusion. Forgiveness, truthfulness, control of the senses, control of the mind, happiness and distress, birth, death, fear, fearlessness, nonviolence, equanimity, satisfaction, austerity, charity, fame and infamy, all these various qualities of living beings are created by me alone. Purport, the different qualities of the living entities, be they good or bad, are still all created by Krishna, and they are described here. Intelligence refers to the power to analyze things in their proper perspective. And knowledge refers to understanding what is spirit and what is matter. Ordinary knowledge obtained by a university education pertains only to matter and is not accepted here as knowledge. Knowledge means knowing the distinction between spirit and matter. In modern education, there is no knowledge about spirit. They are simply taking care of the material elements and bodily needs. Therefore, academic knowledge is not complete. Asamoha, freedom from doubt and delusion, can be achieved when one is not hesitant and when he understands the transcendental philosophy. Slowly but surely, he becomes free from bewilderment. Nothing should be accepted blindly. Everything should be accepted with care and attention and caution. Shema, tolerance and forgiveness should be practiced. One should be tolerant and excuse the minor offenses of others. Satyam, truthfulness, means that facts should be presented as they are for the benefit of others. Facts should not be misrepresented. According to social conventions, it is said that one can speak the truth only when it is palatable to others. But that is not truthfulness. The truth should be spoken in a straightforward way, so that others will understand actually what the facts are. If a man is a thief, and if people are warned that he is a thief, that is truth. Although sometimes the truth is unpalatable, one should not refrain from speaking it. Truthfulness demands that the facts be presented as they are for the benefit of others. That is the definition of truth. Control of the senses means that the senses should not be used for unnecessary personal enjoyment. There is no prohibition against meeting the proper needs of the senses, but unnecessary sense enjoyment is detrimental for spiritual advancement. Therefore, the senses should be restrained from unnecessary use. Similarly, one should restrain the mind from unnecessary thoughts. That is called shama. One should not spend one's time pondering over earning money. That is a misuse of the thinking power. The mind should be used to understand the prime necessity of human beings, and that should be presented authoritatively. The power of thought should be developed in association with persons who are authorities in the scriptures, saintly persons and spiritual masters, and those who are thinking is highly developed. Sukham, pleasure or happiness, should always be in that which is favorable for the cultivation of the spiritual knowledge of Krishna consciousness. And similarly, that which is painful or which causes distress is that which is unfavorable for the cultivation of Krishna consciousness. Anything favorable for the development of Krishna consciousness should be accepted, and anything unfavorable should be rejected. It's quite a long purport. I'm sure you're all remembering everything. Remember what book are we reading from? No, it's not the Krishna book. Anyhow, maybe we can remember one thing. What was the first quality that was expressed? Buddhya gyanam asamoda, shema sattva dhamma shema, sukadukam bhavo bhavo, bhayam chabayam evacha, ahimsa samata tushti, stato danam yasho yasha, pavanti bhava bhutanam, tapo mutak eva pritak vida. First time I've read it also. Yeah, I just first time I ever read this. Somehow or another, it was catchy, so I just got it. I liked it, the rhythm, so I just picked up on Buddha again. So anyhow, we'll go on. Otherwise, we'll be here all year. Bhava, birth, should be understood to refer to the body. As far as the soul is concerned, there is neither birth nor death. That we have discussed in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita. Birth and death apply to one's embodiment in the material world. Fear is due to worrying about the future. A person in Krishna consciousness has no fear, because by his activities he is sure to go back to the spiritual sky, back home, back to Godhead. Therefore, his future is very bright. Others, however, do not know what their future holds. They have no knowledge of what the next life holds. They are, therefore, in constant anxiety. We want to get free from anxiety, then the best course is to understand Krishna and be situated always in Krishna consciousness. In that way, he'll be free from all fear. In the Srimad Bhagavatam 11.2.37 is stated, Bhayam dvitiya bhinaveshitasyat. Fear is caused by our absorption in the illusory energy. But those who are free from the illusory energy, those who are confident that they are not the material body, that there are spiritual parts of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and who are therefore engaged in the transcendental service of the Supreme Godhead, have nothing to fear. Their future is very bright. That this fear is a condition of persons who are not in Krishna consciousness. Abhayam, fearlessness is possible only for one in Krishna consciousness. Ahimsa, non-violence, means that one should not do anything which will put others into misery or confusion. Material activities that are promised by so many politicians, sociologists, philanthropists, etc., do not produce very good results because the politicians and philanthropists have no transcendental vision. They do not know what is actually beneficial for human society. Ahimsa means that people should be trained in such a way that the full utilization of the human body can be achieved. The human body is meant for spiritual realization, so any movement or any commissions which do not further that end commit violence on the human body. That which furthers the future spiritual happiness of the people in general is called nonviolence. Samatha, equanimity, refers to freedom from attachment and aversion, to be very much attached to be very much attached or to be very much detached is not the best. This material world should be accepted without attachment or aversion. That which is favorable for prosecuting Krishna consciousness should be accepted, and that which is unfavorable should be rejected. That is called samatha, equanimity. A person in Krishna consciousness has nothing to reject, nothing to accept, save in terms of its usefulness in the prosecution of Krishna consciousness. Tushti, satisfaction, means that one should not be eager to gather more and more material goods by unnecessary activity. One should be satisfied with whatever is obtained by the grace of the Supreme Lord. That is called satisfaction. Tapas means austerity or penance. There are many rules and regulations in the Vedas which apply here, like rising early in the morning and taking a bath. Sometimes it's very troublesome to rise early in the morning, but whatever voluntary trouble one may suffer in this way, it's called penance. Similarly, there are prescriptions for fasting on certain days of the month. One may not be inclined to practice such fasting, but because of his determination to make advancement in the science of Krishna consciousness, he should accept such bodily troubles when they are recommended. However, one should not fast unnecessarily or against Vedic injunctions. One should not fast for some political purpose. That is described in the Bhagavad Gita as fasting in ignorance. And anything done in ignorance or passion does not lead to spiritual advancement. Everything done in the mode of goodness does not advance one. However, and fasting done in terms of the Vedic injunctions enriches one in spiritual knowledge. As far as charity is concerned, one should give 50% of his earnings to some good cause. And what is a good cause? It is that which is conducted in terms of Krishna consciousness. That is not only a good cause, but the best cause. Because Krishna is good, his cause is also good. Thus, charity should be given to a person who is engaged in Krishna consciousness. According to Vedic literature, it is enjoined that charity should be given to the brahmanas. This practice is still followed, although not very nicely in terms of the Vedic injunction. But still the injunction is that charity should be given to the brahmanas. Why? Because they are engaged in higher cultivation of spiritual knowledge. A brahmana is supposed to devote his whole life to understanding Brahman. Brahmajanatiti brahmanaha. One who knows Brahman is called a brahmana. Thus charity is offered to the brahmanas because they are always engaged in higher spiritual service and have no time to earn their livelihood. In the Vedic literature, charity is also to be awarded to one in the renounced order of life, the sannyasi. The sannyasis beg from door to door, not for money, but for missionary purposes. The system is that they go from door to door to awaken the householders from the slumber of ignorance. Because householders engaged in family affairs and have forgotten their actual purpose in life, awakening their Krishna consciousness is the business of the sannyasis to go as beggars to the householders and encourage them to be Krishna conscious. As it is said in the Vedas, one should awake and achieve that which is due to him in the human form of life. This knowledge and method is distributed by the sannyasis. Hence, charity is to be given to the renouncer of life. I'll repeat this. No, I won't repeat it. You should have gotten the first time. Hence, charity is to be given to the renouncer of life. Oh, I repeated it. To the brahmanas and similar good causes, not to any whimsical cause. Yasha fame should be according to Lord Chaitanya, so that man is famous when he is known as a great devotee. That is real fame. If one has become a great man in Krishna consciousness and it is known, then he is truly famous. One who does not have such fame is infamous. All these qualities are manifest throughout the universe and human society and in the society of the demigods. There are many forms of humanity on other planets, and these qualities are there. Now, for one who wants to advance in Krishna consciousness, Krishna creates all these qualities, but the person develops them himself from within. One who engages in the devotional service of the Supreme Lord develops all the good qualities as arranged by the Supreme Lord. Whatever we find, good or bad, the origin is Krishna. Nothing can manifest itself in this material world which is not in Krishna. That is knowledge, although we know that things are differently situated. We should realize that everything flows from Krishna. Buddhir-gyanam-asamoda-shama-te-am-buddhir-gyanam-asamoda-shema-sattvam-dama-shama-sukha-dukham-bhavo-bhavo Bayam cha bayam eva cha ahimsa samata tushti sato danam yasho yasha bhavanti bhava bhutanam mitak eva pritak vida. Intelligence, knowledge, freedom from doubt and delusion, forgiveness, truthfulness, control of the senses, control of the mind, happiness and distress, birth, death, fear, fearlessness, nonviolence, equanimity, satisfaction, austerity, charity, fame, and infamy, all these various qualities of living beings are created by me alone. Namo Vishnu Vraya Krishna Prasthai Bhutai Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatundeve Gauravani Pacharane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskyadhyade Satarane. So this will be a long purport and a short class. Said everything. But it's significant here that everything is manifested by Krishna. In other words, Krishna can manifest good qualities and he can manifest bad qualities. Now, what Krishna manifests is according to what we're desiring. So everything depends on our desire. If we desire to act in Krishna consciousness and come in contact with Krishna, then naturally the good qualities will be manifested. And anything else depends upon our association. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Purusha Prakriti Sohi Bhunte Prakriti Jangunan Karna Guna Sangosya Sat Asat Yoni Janmasu. Thus the living entities in this world follow the ways of life, enjoying the three modes of nature. This is good due to their association with those modes, and thus they meet with both good and evil amongst the various species. But even before that, Krishna said, Purusha Prakriti Sohi, Purusha, Prakriti, Prakriti Purusham Chaiva, Vidyanari Ubhavapi, Vikaramscha Gunamscha Vidhi Prakriti Sambhana, that the material nature is said to be the cause. Hmm. Karna karna kartive hetu prakriti uchite purusha sukadukanam bhoktrive hetu uchite. That the nature is said to be the cause of all material causes and effects. In other words, whatever we see in the material world is either an activity of the spiritual nature when one is engaged in devotional service, or an activity of the material nature. How do you know if something's an activity of the spiritual nature? Anyone know? It has a big S written on it. Anything that's done in the spiritual nature has to have a big S, and then you can say it's spiritual. Yes. Yes, it's done, devotional service. Anything done, of course, it could be according to Guru Sadhana Shastra. It may not be completely devotional. It depends on the consciousness of the devotee. You can do something. The Guru says, go get me a glass of water, and we get him a glass of water. And that would be 5 rupees. So it's done according to the order of the spiritual master, but it's not completely devotional. But the element is, the consciousness is that everything here is Krishna's energy, meant to be utilized for Krishna's pleasure under the guidance of Guru, Sadhana, and Shastra. That's called devotional service, and such an activity is said to be spiritual. And any other activity is material, simple. Any activity which is not in the consciousness that everything belongs to Krishna, any activity which is not also done according to Guru, Sadhana, and Shastra, and also meant to please Krishna, is under the modes of material nature. And such activities are being carried out by the material nature, not by us. If we have complete knowledge, then we'll have incomplete. Incomplete knowledge, then we'll have incomplete. We'll desire incompletely. And therefore, the activities will manifest themselves in terms of the three modes of nature by the material energies arranged. And the living entity is the cause of the various sufferings and enjoyments. So the material nature, according to our desires and what we deserve, will arrange itself, and then we'll have to suffer and enjoy accordingly. In the material world, the more one performs the activities in the mode of goodness, the less suffering there is, and that's called happiness. And the more one is doing it without reference to Guru, Sadhana, Shastra, without an incomplete knowledge attached to the results of our works, and what to speak of acting under the spell of the mode of ignorance, with a cause of greater and greater unhappiness. So, to manifest these good qualities, buddhir jnanam asamoha, that if one has intelligence, then we'll utilize it to gain knowledge, and therefore there'll be asamoha. There'll be freedom from delusion. As Krishna says at the end of the Bhagavad Gita, when he asks Arjuna, kachit etat chutam parata, tvaya ka grena chetasa, kachit agina samoha, pranatas te dananjaya. That Krishna was asking Arjuna if he was actually listening. Now, of course, Arjuna probably would say, of course I was. Can you repeat? That was the story from the Krishna book you were telling me, right? Krishna says, wrong. No, have you been listening with kachit etat shutam parata tvaya ka grena chetasa? With a one-pointed attention, Krishna was actually expecting Arjuna to pay actual attention. Kachit agana samoha, in such a way that all his ignorance of identifying himself with his body and with his relatives, etc., would go away, so he'd become free from all his illusory or delusory ideas. And Arjuna said, Nashta moha, I've remembered actually who I am now. Sri Tira Labdva, I've gained my memory by your mercy. Tat prasada maya chuta. nashta moha. My illusion is now has been spelled. I gain my remembrance by your mercy. I'm no longer thinking I'm this body or that these are my relatives. And I'm now prepared to act according to your instruction. So that should be the result of all these good qualities, is that one is prepared to utilize them in Krishna's service. Otherwise, they don't really have such meaning. We may artificially develop knowledge or intelligence, but if it's misused, then we won't get transcendental knowledge. If we don't get transcendental knowledge, we won't become free from illusion or delusion. And therefore we won't be able to be shema, satvam, dama, shema. We won't be able to become tolerant, nor will we be able to become truthful, nor will we be able to control our mind and senses. So all these good qualities come especially from engagement in devotional service and using our intelligence, tadami, buddhi, yogam, tam, using the intelligence Krishna is giving us to perform devotional service, so we actually get real spiritual understanding, realization that I'm eternal soul, therefore become free from illusion. If we become a little free from illusion every day, then the day was worth living. Otherwise, we're walking around like zombies. Asleep, believing that we're awake, or we're actually we're already asleep, there's no question of that. Because hopefully we can get to sleep tonight also, and get deeper into sleep. But actually we're already asleep. Even when we wake up, we're still asleep. This is the question of how deep our sleep is. But when we actually get real knowledge, we get real intelligence, then we'll be able to know how to act in such a way as to get realization, freedom from delusion, become tolerant of the material existence, and dive deeper and deeper into Krishna consciousness. Then we'll wake up gradually. And then we'll be able to understand what the value of the Krishna consciousness movement is. Anyhow, and even if we don't do that, the prasadam is usually pretty good, so it's all right. As long as the prasadam and the music is good, things are all right. So I'll stop there and thank you. Any questions?
There is a question on the internet. Please accept my humble obeisances. In the Bhakti Sandarbha, it is said, good qualities don't destroy false ego, only increase it and pollute. Please, can you elaborate on this?
Well, I'm sure that's not the whole statement from the Sandarbha. Good qualities don't diminish the false ego, they only implode it?
They only increase it and pollute.
They only increase it. No, that's not true. Depends. Good qualities can be utilized in Krishna service, or they can be utilized in Maya service. But that's what it explains in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Yas yasti bhaktir bhagavata kinchana savarganas tatra samasate sura. No, that's not right. Yas yasti bhaktir kinchana savarganas tatra samasate guru munavrite nasati dabhato bahi. Yas yasti bhakti bhagavata kinchana savarganas tatra gunasate guru. That if one performs devotional service and gets these good qualities, then he becomes like the demigods. But if one is not engaged in Krishna service, worshipping Hari, then even if he apparently has good qualities, he's still hovering on the mental platform, then he's sure to come back to the material consciousness. So it depends how the good qualities are utilized. They're not bad. We're trying to get good qualities, but they should be derived from as part of performing devotional service. Therefore, these good qualities are explained here. Buddhira Gyanam Asamudo Shema Sattva Dhamma Shema Sukadukam Bhavo Bhavo Bhayam Chabayam Evacha Ahimsa samatatushti stato dhanam yasho yasha bhavanti bhava bhutanam matakeva pritak vita. So these are necessary. Without good qualities, as Krishna explains in the 12th chapter, one cannot actually be considered an actual advanced devotee. Anything else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, I have a question about one quality, perfection. This exists in material world or in spiritual world?
Perfection is to fall in love with Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
That's the perfection. What's that? Chant Hare Krishna. Well, that's the process of devotional service. Surrender, sharanagati. Accept things favorable for the development of Krishna consciousness. Give up things that are unfavorable. Believe that Krishna will protect us and maintain us. Have no interest about except Krishna's interest. And always be meek and humble. Process of sharanagati. Okay, thank you very much. Khwala, Grantharaj, Shrimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai.